given in the spirit. So it's a relationship builder, it's a weapon. But one of the other key things I wanted us to think about prayer as being is being like a power bank. Now today, this very day, I experienced the horror of being on my phone, needing Google Maps to get from place to place on my bike without a power bank. I was somewhere I really didn't know, on 1%, and I was just like, I don't know how I'm supposed to get home. And thankfully, I managed to get to a road that I knew and I could just get home. But prayer being a power bank, it's that constant chatting with God, talking with him, and being connected to a power source. So rather than waiting until the end of the week where you get to the mains plug, church, connecting, building up that power, and then going out into the week and expecting ourselves to work and move in the power of the Spirit without actually being topped up, it's crazy. You would never, would you do that to your phone? Abby was just like, no, I would never do that. It can't function without being topped up with power. So we wanted to think of power as being a power bank that we're constantly connected to in conversation with our Father. But as we go into tonight's talk, because with those things, I want us to remember them, but we have a tendency to start thinking of those things on an individual level. And I want us to think as a group. We're becoming a community of Spirit-filled praying people. So I'm going to add a fourth one. Prayer transforms us into being conductors of God's power. So I've got a lamp here. Ta-da! And it's connected to the power, but you probably wouldn't be able to tell that. Why is that? Can someone suggest why you can't quite tell that it's not connected to the power? It's plugged in, but it's not... Thank you. Thanks for the enthusiasm.
It's not switched on. Ruth, you'd be so ridiculous.
It's not switched on. No, it's not switched on. I'm going to switch it on now. It's switched on. You know that it's connected to the power. So Jesus said to us that we are the light of the world. And that's his message to his church. Like, show the world who I am. Point the world to me. And if we're supposed to be the light of the world, what good is it if we're connected to the power source, but there's no evidence of that on the outside, either as a church or in our own lives? So we, at the Six, we want to be a people that shows the world who Jesus is, to be the light of the world. Was there an amen? Yes! Oh, yes! Right, I'm done. I'm going to sit down now. I've got one amen. But we're to be the light of the world, and we're to show people who God is. And the early church was really good at that. They were really good at living out that message of pointing people to who Jesus was, because they knew that people needed to see the new thing that God was doing. And we believe that God's doing a new thing here. So this is why we're going to start by focusing on prayer and how we can become Spirit-filled and a praying community. So Jenny is going to come and read from Acts. And we're going to look at how that first group of people used prayer to shape their community. Thanks, Jenny.
You may well find a Bible near you if you want to follow along. If not, you've probably got one on your phone, or you can find one on your phone if you don't already have one. We're reading from Acts chapter 12, verses 1 to 11, which is a praying, Spirit-filled community. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought that he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they'd walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating." This is the word of the Lord.
Keep going.
Oh, sorry, 13, is it?
No, 16.
16. Sorry, carrying on. So you're all on the edge of your seat for what happens next. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. No, thank you, Ruthie. I see. Yeah. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When they kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thanks, Jenny. To start off with, I mean, I just love how this angel operates, don't you? Like, we often in the world think of angels as being quite angelic, like serene and floaty and otherworldly, whereas this angel, whoever they were, was having none of that. They were just like, "Kadoosh! Peter, get up, get your stuff, let's go, we need to get out." And I love that. It's an angel of action. So, being a community of spirit-filled praying people. Of course, it's a sermon, so there are going to be three things that I want us to think about. The first thing that this group of people did when they were praying, or how they saw prayer, they didn't let their past experiences stop them from praying for a miracle. So they just experienced seeing one of their really close friends, one of their number, murdered. Like, it was like within weeks. Some people were arrested and one of their number was murdered. And they would have been praying for James. They would have been absolutely crushed. They would have thought, "God, what are you doing? We were praying for a miracle. This is surely where you're calling us to go, but where were you?" And it would have been so fresh when they were praying for Peter, but it didn't stop them. It says in verse 5, "So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him." And earnestly means intently, intensely, and eagerly. And I kind of wonder, did their tragedy drive their determination? Were they crying out to God saying, no, we know that you're able. We don't want this. We know that there's more. So we're going to keep crying out to you. They didn't let their tragedy and disappointment stop them from stepping out and praying. And maybe you, like me, you've experienced real disappointment in your life and lots of unanswered prayer, and it's really difficult. And maybe there was a point in your life where you felt like God was calling you to pray for people, and you experienced disappointment or just didn't see anything happen, and you were like, "Well, there's no point, God's not going to use me." But if that's you, look at this group of people. Like, they'd seen their friend murdered after praying and praying and praying, but they didn't let that stop them from praying for a miracle. So that's the first thing they did. They didn't let their past experiences stop them from praying for a miracle. Secondly, they just prayed for God to do something because they believed that God could and would do something. So they were probably thinking, you know, the best we can hope for is that the trial happens, Peter's like beaten really badly, but maybe he gets released and we can take him home. That's the best that we can think about. But, you know, that's God doing something. And this whole event was like the day before the trial. Like, they weren't thinking that this could happen. And poor Rhoda, they told her that she was out of her mind for telling them that Peter was there. They're like, yeah, we're praying, we're kind of believing that God could do something, but that's just too much. But still, they prayed and believed that something was possible. But what's our attitude when we come to church? Is it maybe something could happen, but it's unlikely? I mean, I'm pretty sure that the Holy Spirit only does stuff at other churches where there are thousands of other people, or there are special people to do special prayers and there's a special anointing on them. And it's definitely not going to have anything to do with me at all. And you know what? I'm pretty sure that even here, I don't think any of those kinds of special people are actually in this place. But the thing is, if we only ever think that it's down to other people and special people to do the stuff of seeing the Holy Spirit move, we'll miss out on what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us right here. We need to come with expectation that the Spirit will move, but also with an openness to enable the Spirit to do what the Spirit wants to do, to move through us. Are we going to be ready to say, yes, I want to be a part of what you're doing, Holy Spirit? Because that's what it takes. You didn't see that light was connected to the power source until it was switched on. We can connect, we can pray, we can develop a close relationship with God. But the world is going to see that we are the people of God when we go, you know what, I'm going to switch on. I'm going to choose to be active. I'm going to choose to show the world what God looks like. So, they kept praying for God to do something. And thirdly, praying for one another was fundamental to their community. So after this passage, we didn't read 17. Peter's like, he had to motion with his hand to like calm everyone down. Like, just imagine in your minds what it must have felt like to be that group of people, just like praying, thinking, oh, there's not much that we can hope for. We might have to carry our friend's body, not even alive maybe, home tomorrow, but, you know, we're just going to keep praying. Imagine 24 hours before anything was meant to be possible, he just rocks up at your door. Like, I love the thought of them kind of going crazy and leaping about and shouting, and Peter's just like, can you shush, let me tell you what happened. And think of what it would have done for their prayer life. Like, what would it do for you? Like, I'm going to ask you, Sean, because I've got direct eye contact with you. What would that do for your prayer life to kind of receive that answer to prayer? Yeah. Yeah. So Sean gave all of the right answers. She was like, it'd be really, really encouraging, and it would make her want to pray more. Of course. Because when you pray and you start to see stuff happening, you're just like, well, yeah, more, Lord. Let's do more of this. Let's see more of this happen, because that's meant to be part of who we are. So as a community, we want to be a people who are passionate about prayer and equipped to do it. And I know that for some of you, praying for people is possibly your worst nightmare. And as I'm starting to say these words, you're like, wait, I did not sign up for that. Please don't make me pray for anyone. I thought we were friends, Ruth. And I'm not technically going to ask you to pray for anyone that you don't know right now next to you, but remember, like, who here has been to an amazing conference or church service or something or other where they've been prayed for? There's been an amazing moment of prayer ministry where they've been prayed for by people, and it wasn't like a special person at the front. It wasn't just a team with special t-shirts on, although there may have been that, but all sorts of people got involved in praying. Who has experienced that in their faith journey so far? Yeah. There's so many of you. And the thing is, that doesn't happen because at these kind of big events and festivals, the people leading go, right, there's loads of people here now. It's time to do the special praying so that the special things happen because there are loads of people. That's not what happens. It's because there are Christians there who are equipped to pray for other people and who just do this. They believe that when they pray, they can do so with authority and expect more than just warm, fuzzy feelings for the people that they pray for. That's why we see things happen. That's why it's such an amazing time of ministry. And we can do that here. Like, who believes we can do that here? Yes. Oh, I'm glad that I could give an audible reaction. Yes, hands went up. Hands flew up. So that we know for the recording's sake. It's possible, and we really want that for this space, to be able to pray for each other, to be equipped to hold each other up in prayer, to pray directly into situations and to see God move. And when I last spoke on prayer, there was a quote that I included in that sermon, and I want to share it again here because it's so powerful and I love it so much. So in his book, The Power of Prayer, the writer R.A. Torrey says this: when the devil sees a man or a woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church or community is at an end. Like, that's so good. Yes, Maggie's clicking. She's doing the, I'm at a spoken word, clicking. We want to be people who makes the enemy tremble because we know how to pray. We believe that prayer does something and we really do pray. We want to be those people because we want the devil to think, you know what, actually, Peckham doesn't have space for me. There's no space for me in Peckham. I can't do anything because that church is on their face. That church believes that the Spirit can move. So I know that I am excited about this being that kind of space, and I hope you are as well. So we're going to respond in a few ways, and hopefully as we're responding, we can have some music going on in the background, I think. We're going to respond in a few ways. So first, I'd just like us all to stand. To be active in this decision to kind of say, you know what? We want to believe that you can move through us. We want to make the enemy tremble. We want him to know that his days are numbered here in Peckham. So we're gonna wait for the Holy Spirit to come. We're gonna ask Holy Spirit, fill us with your power, your authority. And if it helps you, hold out your hands. Hold out your hands to receive. If you want to say, God, I'm ready to receive your Holy Spirit and I want you to use me. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. We want you to fill us afresh, Lord. We can't do anything without your Holy Spirit, but we pray that there'll be such an outpouring of you in this place that will be transformed from the inside out, and that will flow out of this building into the streets, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And we're just going to wait. Don't worry about an awkward silence. Let the Spirit move. Yeah, it's often when you get words or pictures, sometimes it's tricky to have them formed in your mind, so speaking it out often helps, but I have a picture of kind of like almost like a dandelion clock, but a kind of dry plant where the seeds kind of blow, and it just feels like the Holy Spirit often we describe the spirit as a wind, and as the spirit blows on this seed head, that just like scatters these seeds everywhere, and there's just this opportunity for fruit. So we pray for that, Lord. We pray for your spirit to blow through us to scatter seeds of hope and joy and resurrection and revival. And we just pray that we'll see amazing fruit come from those seeds, Lord. Yeah, Jesus. And another way that we can respond, which may be a big step for some of you, but we want people to be stirred to really pray, to be able to come alongside people in this space, to cover them in the spirit. And if you would be up for being someone in this community who can stand alongside people and pray, then I just want you to raise your hand. We want a group of people who are going to be our prayer warriors in this space. And so if you feel stirred up tonight to kind of think, you know what, God, I want to step out. I don't want to let past experiences stop me from stepping out in a gift that you've called me in. I don't want to allow the world to go by without knowing who you are. I want to see you moving in this place. Then I just want to ask you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. If you can keep your hands raised, then if you can see anyone around you who has their hand raised, just turn towards them, because we're all going to do this. Just turn towards them and extend your hand. And we're just going to pray for these people. Father God, I thank you so much for these, your children, who just want to see a release of your power and your authority and your transforming love in this place and outside of this place, God. We pray, Lord, that you'll fill them now with your Holy Spirit. We pray that through them stepping out at this time, Lord, we pray that we will see amazing things, all the amazing things that you want us to do in this space, Lord. So I just pray, God, that you will encourage these guys, that you will fill them literally with courage and help them to step out. We thank you, Jesus, for all that you're going to do over the coming weeks. And we just pray, God, release more of your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.